Welcome at episode 209 of the GTO on 5G. It's the latest Insight Scoop on everything 5G. We cover six topics in about 20 minutes, and it's brought to you by More Insights and Strategy. I'm Will Townsend, and joining me again this week is Federal Analyst Anshul Sag. But before we get started, just an apology to our listeners and our viewers. Both Anshul and I have been road warriors. I was in Tokyo for a week. There was travel to Palo Alto Networks Ignite before that. We had our first firm-wide planning session on the 15th. And where have you been, Anshul?
I have lost track. I think I've been in New York, Berlin, everywhere. Austin. Yeah, it's been a blur, to be honest with you. Yeah. And I wish it were slowing down. But I would say this is the Thanksgiving lull. I'm actually traveling to DC for Thanksgiving, and then I'm not coming home, going straight to New York for Dell. And then I'm coming back to California, not home, for something else. And then I will finally be home sometime in mid-December. And then I've got a little bit more travel before the end of the year. But I can't wait for it to slow down at least a little bit for the holidays.
I bet. I've only got two more trips. I'll be with AT&T on the 3rd at their analyst summit at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium there, whatever they call that, Jerry World. And then I'll have in mid-December, HP is holding an analyst summit. It's a security summit, and I'll be at that, and I'll be done. But I've already been invited to an event with Cisco on January 15th. I thought in January I'd get a break. Typically, it's January and July.
I have CES.
Yeah, and you've got CES, right?
Yep, it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, I bet it is. Yeah, you didn't go last year, right, because you had the little one.
Yeah, thankfully she wasn't born during CES. She was late 5 days, so she was born after CES. Okay. So I don't have to feel bad about going to CES because she won't. Her birthday's afterwards, thankfully.
Good. Hey, let's get started. I want to start with my first topic, and I want to talk about NTT Docomo and SK Telecom. And there was news this week that they have successfully conducted a pre-6G trial, and no surprise, it involves artificial intelligence. And this is something that you and I have been watching pretty closely. We're certainly not at any sort of 3GPP standardization for 6G. We still have a lot of legs and a lot of work to do with 5G, especially standalone deployments. But this is interesting. And with NVIDIA, they are very focused on bringing their AI stack to the RAN to optimize transmission and that sort of thing. So this was a very similar test. So this was an indoor test. Spectrum was 4.8 gigahertz. And this is obviously in Japan. And what they focused on was using AI-based baseband transmission and reception processing. And this is a technology developed by Nokia. So Nokia is also involved in this. And the trial demonstrated up to an 18% improvement over sort of conventional methods of baseband. So I think it's pretty exciting. I just spent time with NTT last week, and I learned a little bit about what they're calling their 6G harmonized intelligence. And it's funny how these Asian companies, sometimes the translation to English is interesting. But what NTT Docomo is focusing on are five key pillars or value propositions for 6G. That involves sustainability, efficiency, customer experience, network for AI, and connectivity everywhere. Hey, I'm not surprised to see AI being applied to the baseband, but what do you think? What are you hearing? This is an assumption that everyone has, is that 6G will involve a lot of artificial intelligence, right?
I think this really lends super well to NVIDIA. If you remember, we were on that call where they talked about 6G quite a bit. Yeah. And a lot of the development they're doing, I can't imagine that it's a coincidence that T-Mobile's already looking and working with NVIDIA to deploy AI in the RAN. Mm. And I think that when you look at what's happening with the network, if there is really so much AI that's going to be necessary to drive the network, and there are going to be applications that need AI at the edge, it does make sense to have a software-defined open RAN kind of situation where you get two for one, right?
Yeah.
I'm actually playing with my NVIDIA ruler here that they gave me at an event, which is like all the capacitors and then all of the chip layouts for all the different chips they make. Yeah, I think NVIDIA is actually really well positioned for this. I was going to ask you if NVIDIA was involved in all in this NTT Docomo SK Telecom thing, because it sounds like something that'll be right up their alley.
And maybe behind the scenes, but it was really the focus on the article, and I believe it was an RCR Wireless article where I caught this news, was with Nokia and what they're doing. But you know what? So this investigation is not unlike what we've seen in enterprise Wi-Fi with respect to AI ops and applying AI to do more efficient things with traffic steering and micro-segmentation and that sort of thing. So it was an inevitable circumstance that it would come to mobile networks. There is deployment within 5G to a certain extent. You and I have talked about that, but it's been more or less around not necessarily RAN tuning, but intelligent truck rolling and that sort of thing. Again, this is not surprising. This is what everyone is expecting from 3GPP whenever the 6G standard discussions occur. But hell, up to an 18% improvement. And I think that's just scratching the surface. I think there can be a lot more done to improve performance using artificial intelligence. Because if you think about it, it's going to be continuously learning and it's going to be fed continuous data as well as data at the network edge. And so I think it's going to be an exciting phenomenon. And it's going to do a lot of things to improve performance and reliability and availability. And hopefully we get to a point where, absent of bad actors hacking mobile networks, which continues to occur, it's really going to improve the overall quality of service. And one of the pillars that NTT talks about is customer experience. And hey, anyone that tuned in to that Mike Tyson fight knows that quality of service was lacking there. That was an entirely different issue with Netflix and their CDN network, but I think it's all exciting stuff. But let's go to your first topic. And you were at Qualcomm's Investor Day, and this follows Snapdragon Summit. And I know you were very actively live tweeting, live Xing, whatever we call it these days. So what did you learn?
I would say that a lot of it was review. A lot of it was stuff that they had shown at Summit. Mm-hmm. I think what was really demonstrated at the event and what the focus was actually IoT and PC. So on the PC side, I was a little surprised they still aren't talking about 5G. Mm-hmm. And I think that might just be because they know that they will be the leader in 5G if it ever happens,
yeah,
on the PC side at least. And I think it's in their best interest to get the market going before they start pushing something like 5G, which adds cost. But in addition to PC, they were really talking IoT quite a bit, really talking up how they're going to change their strategy again. They've now put IoT under Nakul, who used to run and still runs Auto. So now he has both.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think when you look at what they're doing, IoT is a big growth opportunity for them. I think they're also realizing that like their previous strategies just didn't work.
Yeah.
Also, the IoT market wasn't really in a great place when they tried. Bad timing as well. I think I'm waiting to see what our colleague Bill Curtis thinks about their IoT strategy, because ultimately he's the one who has the most insights. So we'll wait for that to see what he thinks. But I would say that it also feels like they're very much leaning on big partners to make these things happen. And one of them is actually a company you're going to be talking about, which is Aramco. And in general, it seemed like the big takeaways outside of IoT and auto were that they plan on having their non-smartphone business basically equaling their smartphone business by 2030, I think, with the number. In the next 5 or 6 years, they're going to balance out their smartphone business with IoT, which includes auto and PC. So it's basically all the stuff that isn't mobile is technically IoT, but really it's auto and IoT.
Yeah.
And PC versus smartphone. And the truth is, smartphone is still doing great for them. They've picked a high end of the market and they're doing really well there in margins, and growth is decent, better than it was in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hammering on AI super hard. Yeah. And the only other thing I would say is they also teased that they've got another Snapdragon X series chip coming at the low end. And then they also said that they're going to have a new high end chip sometime next year using third generation Snapdragon X Elite. We're already getting ready for a refresh of the Snapdragon X Elite series.
Yeah, I learned a lot about X Elite at Summit. And it's quite impressive what they're doing with NPU, GPU, CPU, and just in such a small form factor and such a very power efficient package as well. And I did write a Forbes article about that. So for our viewers and listeners, if you missed that, hit my social handles. You can learn a little bit more. You mentioned AI, and obviously they're fully invested in AI, and they can do some pretty amazing things within the automotive segment. But as I started looking at just the guts of Elite, it got me thinking that, hey, they're already doing really cool stuff with like edge AI within their most recent Wi-Fi 7 solution announcement. And that could cascade down into a new class of potentially edge-enabled devices, right? And bringing that compute, because you've already got Snapdragon compute power like on smart cameras that's driving computer vision applications and that sort of thing. So I think you could see a whole host of additional edge use cases that are unlocked with this edge AI. But no, it's pretty exciting stuff. And that is actually a great segue to my second topic, because I do want to talk about Aramco Digital. And there are rumors that they are considering investing up to $1 billion in Mavenir. And Tarek Amin, who you and I know very well, he's the CEO of Aramco Digital. Haven't really heard a lot coming out of Aramco and with what they're planning and what Tarek is up to. Tarek has...
This has to be his thing, right?
It has to be, right? Because Tarek's a disruptor. That's his thing. When he was at Rakuten, they were talking about crazy things like giving away the RIC for free and to be able to hook mobile network operator customers. So this is actually quite interesting. Mavenir continues to not perform well, and they're at a point where they're almost completely out of gas. So this would be a much needed infusion of cash. It's a huge amount of money. And if it happens, Aramco would take a minority stake in Mavenir, which it's interesting. Haven't we seen this playbook before with Tarek at Rakuten? What do you think, buddy?
I think $1 billion is a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Mavenir is at that point. I have a feeling that $1 billion is very close to 50% of the company, if it's not a majority share. So I think this is one of those things where they want to have control, but they don't want to have a controlling stake.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do. They obviously need the money, but this might buy them some more time, which I think is what they need.
Yeah, they definitely do. And I've probably not been too kind to Mavenir in the past, but
I would say you're being generous.
Yeah, I'm being generous there. But hey, they're still viable. They're still participant in a lot of deals. They're a part of a lot of Open RAN deployments that are, you know, finally beginning to take off. So it'll be interesting. Again, this isn't confirmed. These are rumors, but
yeah,
usually they're pretty well-found rumors, especially on the Fierce Network, where I caught this particular article. But hey, man, let's go to your second topic. You want to talk about CV2X and its journey to becoming a standard.
Yeah, so CV2X is a standard, technology standard that's been around for a while, and it's mostly been centered around 5. And it's supposed to replace an older technology that failed to take off in the auto sector. That was like a direct to vehicle. I forget, it was like DSD or something like that. It never took off, but it was like a 4.9 gigahertz technology. And CV2X looks to replace that in a more standards-based way. This 5.9, did I say 4.9? I meant 5.9. It's 5.9 gigahertz. And basically, it's already part of the 3GPP standard. The FCC is now coalescing around to V2X and making sure that it's part of the standard for the U.S. And it's been in the process since before 2020.
Yeah, long.
And they basically are saying that the FCC will allocate 30 megahertz between 5.895 and 5.925 specifically for V2X. And that's obviously going to need a 45 megahertz guard band. So that way, Wi-Fi doesn't interfere with it outdoors. And that's part of the reason why Wi-Fi in the 5-ish, 6 gigahertz bands has to listen for signal.
Yeah.
And the FCC adopting CV2X actually works in Qualcomm's favor because they were a big driver of the technology. And it will likely be the standard that all automotive companies use for connecting to the 5G network and being able to connect to other devices. So the dream here with V2X is that you can have this modem or this technology in the car. It will communicate both with infrastructure and cellular networks and user right. devices. Right. So that way, like, it can see things that it can't actually have line of sight to. If there's a fire truck coming down the road, it can slow the car down before the fire truck even comes close. Mm. It can anticipate someone's crossing the street using sensors and wireless communications. There's a lot of really cool features that I've talked about for a long time and I've been really excited about with V2X. But the problem is that it just hasn't come through the standards with FCC yet. And it seems like U.S. Department of Transportation is also on board. So this might be the turning point for V2X. And we might actually down the road, unfortunately, when it comes to auto, things take a while. But yeah. We could see this in 3 to 5 years, if not sooner.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. So you think it's a 3 to 5 year time horizon once?
That's generally how the automotive industry works. 3 is like the new standard for fast.
Yeah.
5 is the old way of doing things. Right. But it's possible that some of those chipsets all in cars today already support V2X, in which case it would just be a software update.
To your point, Qualcomm has a huge footprint in automotive now, right? What's their share relative to, say, I know BlackBerry has a competing sort of
mission. Yeah, so Qualcomm's business is predominantly a split between ADAS and digital cockpit.
Yeah.
And the ADAS isn't as big as digital cockpit right now, but that's growing. They see ADAS as a growth opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, their original business in auto was telemetry. They've been doing telemetry for auto for decades. So this is just going to be an up level for them. And they'll probably be able to bundle it with cockpit and ADAS as a complete system. And they're even talking about how they're going to have this flexible, they're calling it flex, where you can have multiple chips doing both ADAS and cockpit together, as opposed to having to have them separate systems.
Mm-hmm.
Which can save on costs for OEMs, which then probably spins into telemetry and 5G cellular. Because the reality is a lot of these cars are going to need 5G to just keep updating models and keeping things up to date.
Yeah, good point. Again, another more upside for Qualcomm. And we don't often state this on our podcast, but this is for entertainment purposes only. We don't provide investment advice on any of the companies that we cover. But Qualcomm continues to execute and they keep raising the bar on performance as well and low power. And to your point, they've been in this area and automotive for quite some time. So they're very well positioned. So I don't think we're sharing anything that the average person that's knowledgeable about Qualcomm already knows. But hey, bud, let's go to my third topic. And I want to talk about Nokia. And they've had two recent pretty big wins that have really helped on the financial front. It's been a tough couple of quarters for Nokia, and there's no mystery that the RAN market has cooled off quite a bit. Most mobile network operators have deployed the RAN infrastructure. Now they're focused on core to get to standalone. But what's interesting, and Nokia has cited that India, sales declines in India have been a big part of why their financials have been weak. This week, they announced a multi-billion dollar deal with Bharti Airtel. And this is to help that mobile network operator in India deploy 5G advanced. And so a big win there for them. And then this week as well, they announced some support with switches for Microsoft Azure and what they're doing with cloud data center. And so, yeah, so this is great. I think they're coming towards the end of the calendar year for Nokia, but It's been a tough year for Nokia. Hey, it just demonstrates the fact that they are still very viable. They're very viable in the data center. They're very viable in transport. And they're certainly very viable when you look at RAN and core infrastructure. So what do you think? Did you catch the news?
I did catch the news. I do think it's good for Nokia, especially since it seems like T-Mobile might be moving away from them.
I read that rumor, yeah.
I think that was good news to balance potential bad news. And yeah, I think he is a bit of a roller coaster, but
yeah.
I think they rely a lot on RAN. And yeah, it's just been a very ebb and flow kind of thing.
Hey, we're going to end the podcast because you like to find these controversial topics for us to discuss. But you want to talk about RFK Jr. and he's front and center with President-elect Trump, and he's got some concerns about wireless technology.
Yes. So back in 2020 and in 2023, he talked about how 5G was designed to harvest human data. He also said that Wi-Fi radiation opens up your blood-brain barrier, so all these toxins are in your body can now go into your brain. That is a direct quote. And yeah, this guy really just thinks 5G has zero to do with giving you faster downloads. It is a system completely geared towards harvesting human data. I think you would be wrong to say it's 5G. Technically, 4G also does that. Yeah. But the truth is, he's also talked about RF emissions being a health risk. I think we need people to be more educated on these topics. Perhaps Mr. Brendan Carr can educate him on this topic. I'm not sure that he will, but it's going to be very interesting if he actually does head up Health and Human Services. Hopefully someone can talk some sense into him, but it doesn't seem like anyone's able to.
Sounds like he's been talking to Dr. Oz. Didn't I hear that? Dr. Oz was a rumor for Surgeon General or something?
No, he is, I think it's the Veterans Administration.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So we don't want to get too political on this webcast, but
Medicare and Medicaid services. So Grandpa and grandma's.
At least it's not the DOGE, right? The Department of Government Efficiency.
I hope that we have people who are more competent running our government.
We do. And I will say one positive thing. So during Trump's first administration, at least at the very beginning of it, he brought together a council of technology CEOs that include Michael Dell, and I think it included at the time, probably Jeff Bezos. That's the right approach to go. So the government needs to bring private industry into these discussions. Use people with knowledge and context as consultants as policy is established and that sort of thing. And that's whether it's a Republican administration or a Democratic administration. You need to bring smart people into the discussion that have the context so that they make the right decisions. But
biggest concern is that we don't have an FCC that causes the same thing that happened during the FAA crisis.
Boy, you and I talked a lot about that over the last couple of years.
And that was from the first Trump administration. I'm hoping we don't have something like that happen again.
At least Pai is not coming back, right?
Who knows?
The former FCC chairman, right? Ajit Pai?
Yeah, he's busy doing private equity stuff.
Interesting. Oh, before we get too much further into the political realm, what are you doing for Thanksgiving, my friend?
We are flying to D.C.
Oh, you mentioned
for Thanksgiving with family.
With family.
And then, I'm not coming home. I'm flying to New York.
You did
but honestly, that. New York in December is gorgeous. It's probably one of the best times to be in New York.
Oh, man. Listen, I'm looking forward to spending time with the HP security team there. I'm going to go to Rockefeller Center. I probably won't go ice skating. I want to see the tree. Yeah, and all of that. It's going to be great. Hey, listen, my friend, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And I hope our viewers and listeners do as well. I'm glad we finally were able to record this podcast after a 3-week hiatus. Why don't you take us home?
Absolutely. We hope our viewers and listeners found this week's topics interesting. If anyone out there would like to provide insights on a specific 5G topic for a future podcast, please reach out to us on social media. Will's at Will and Tom Tech, and I'm at Anshul Sog. We hope you have a great Thanksgiving weekend, and please tune again next week, and don't forget to rate us and subscribe.